This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, there were two things that I wanted to start with this morning, Howard. The one just caught my attention this morning as I was going through the news, and that's the Amnesty International report that has been released, which accuses Hamas of crimes against humanity connected to the October the 7th massacre. Now, Amnesty International has not been a great friend of Israel's over the years, and has certainly been a supporter of ceasefire in Gaza and the regular kind of slogans that we've seen coming out from the war. So while I've said to you on so many occasions that it's very, very difficult to convince those who are unconvincible and those who hold a certain view, no matter what comes out, I'm being proven wrong here in the case of Amnesty International, and I really have no idea what has given rise to this report and who was involved in putting it together, because it's definitely not a piece of work that I would ever expect from Amnesty International. Now, whether this will be influential in convincing other Israel haters and Hamas supporters remains to be seen, and I am somewhat skeptical about whether anybody will be convinced by this. But I think it is a significant moment. I think it is a definite change in the way in which the wind is blowing, and it comes alongside another report which has come out of Gaza, which shows how Hamas hoarded and hid tons and tons of baby formula in Gaza during the period that Israel was being accused of starving Gazans. And again, I don't think that this particular fact will necessarily convince other people who are supporters of Hamas or anti-Israel that, Hamas is a terrible organization, they're terrorists, and they don't have the best at heart for their own population. But we know the truth, and it's just astonishing. And just a third little story connected to Gaza is this morning it's come out that Avi Marciano, who is the father of Noah Marciano, who was an IDF soldier killed in Gaza, apparently he was saying that he received a video, apparently, of Noah's last moments in Shifa Hospital in Gaza. And the report suggests that instead of treating Noah for her injuries, a Hamas doctor injected air into her veins, which ultimately led to her death. So these are just little things that are coming out, and no doubt there will be a lot more that comes out from Gaza. But I think that this Amnesty International report really took me by surprise and is really unexpected for me. I know that the other day we did mention the Newspins very, very fleetingly. And I just wanted to throw in a line or two, because I know that this has been some interest. And we saw Itamar Ben-Gvir walking around in the Knesset with a pin on his lapel, which depicted a noose. And it's, of course, connected to his support of implementing the death penalty for terrorists in Israel. Now, a pin on the lapel has become a very standard way of people kind of showing their sympathy for one cause or another. We've had so many people walking around with the yellow ribbon on their lapel, or the yellow band that I have on my wrist, for example, but so many people have walked around with these lapel pins, and you would never, ever see President Trump out and about in public without his American flag on his lapel. So the pin is definitely a statement. Whether you want to go around with a noose on your lapel, even if the idea of the death penalty for terrorists might well be a valid one, and I'm sure that the listeners have their views about it. By the way, this concept of a potential death penalty, highly controversial. It kind of has all kinds of debates around it as to whether it even fits within Jewish law, whether within Jewish law, within halakha, we have the right to execute people, to sentence people to death, even though it might well be very justified because of acts of terror. That's a discussion for another day. But I'm not sure that going around with a noose on your lapel is the way to conduct this particular campaign. To me, it feels a little bit too much.
I agree. I agree.
And
I think
so,
it's in
yeah,
hideous
I'm not
taste.
sure.
I just don't. But listen, the guy's never, and not until now, he's never shocked me by behaving intelligently. I don't know. It's I.
Or shied away from being controversial, right?
Yeah, but I'd never know if it's for the sake of it. I actually don't care. I think he's an idiot. I think he has done more damage to Israel's image over the last 2 years than he could ever possibly imagine. And I can tell you that he not only has he done damage to Israel's image, but he has done damage to Jews in the diaspora by his behavior. And yes, of course, we can't blame ourselves for anti-Semitism, but certainly he does us no favors.
Well, I'd like to add, I mean, because I'm also not a great fan of his, and I agree with what you've just said, but I would go even further that as a minister in government, I don't think he's really made a contribution at all. So if he's kind of annoyed people abroad and created difficulty for Jews around the world, that might well be justified if he'd made a massive contribution to Israeli society in the process of it. But I don't think he has, and I think on the contrary, that he's actually done damage internally as well. But again, we'll park all of that
Yes,
to one
exactly.
side
And we'll talk
because
about
it
some other
is a
things.
massive discussion unto itself.
Let's talk about the IDF that has begun reinforcing outposts along the border with Jordan. What's happening here?
Yeah, so this one really, really caught my attention. And the reason is, of course, that the border with Jordan has been considered to be a peaceful border since we entered into the peace agreement with Jordan many, many years ago. And there are numerous outposts, old outposts, which still exist along that Jordanian border from the time when it wasn't a peaceful border. And those outposts have effectively not been manned, and they've been allowed just to remain there. I suppose as some sort of a testimony to things that used to be. I understand that during and after the War of Attrition, the IDF maintained something like 46 outposts along the Jordan Valley from Hamat Geder in the north to the Arava Desert in the south. And they were, of course, intended to detect and to stop infiltration by terrorists and smugglers across from Jordan, and of course, to maintain a certain peace along the Jordanian border. That was all until 1994, when the peace agreement with Jordan was entered into. So why now are we choosing to rearm and to reinforce that border? Well, the answer is that apparently the IDF is feeling a real threat from the Jordanian side, from Iraqi and Houthis, and potentially even Iranians, who may be wishing to reach Israel through Jordan. Now, Jordan is a vast country, and much of it is desert. And I'm guessing that there are ways in which people can move through Jordan relatively undetected. I don't think that Jordan has a particularly extensive or expansive police force or army. And I would imagine that it would be relatively easy for people who were determined to move through the desert undetected towards the border with Israel. And all of a sudden, in light of things that have happened over the last few years, the IDF has decided that this border seems to be something of a threat, not because of what Jordan may do to Israel, but quite on the contrary, because of what Jordan may not do. in detecting movement across Jordan and across the vast desert from enemies of Israel who are on the other side, beyond the other Jordanian border towards the eastern side. So this is a very, very interesting development, because all of a sudden now that land border is looking porous and looking a little kind of threatening for the IDF. And I'm understanding that the idea is to take those old outposts, those 46 old outposts that have been left relatively abandoned since 1994, and to reactivate them and to reinforce them so that they will once again fulfill the role that they filled before 1994, to protect that border and to reinforce it and to make sure that we can detect any movements across that border. I mean, clearly, there's also all kinds of technology at play here. So it wouldn't surprise me if the IDF is also monitoring things from the air, from drones and from satellites, in terms of potential movement across Jordan from the eastern side towards our Israeli border. But ultimately, as we discovered on October the 7th, there is no replacement for strong armed resistance along the border. That really is the ultimate protection, even though you might have all the detection technology in the world and managing to have spying and reconnaissance information. But ultimately, you need to be on the border to protect it. So that seems to be the latest development, which I found to be very fascinating indeed.
Very. President Trump has said that he will be appointing the Peace Council for Gaza in early 2026. So that means there's a bit of a delay, because didn't he say it was happening before Christmas?
Well, he did say that it was happening before Christmas, and now said he'll appoint it in early 2026, what he's calling the Board of Peace. And he's used the word legendary to describe the Board of Peace. And he said that there will be heads of the most important countries in the world, kings, heads of state, and president. They all want to be on the Board of Peace. And my question is, why? What is this Board of Peace going to do? What is its role? I don't know, Howard, if you've got any views on this, but for me, this is all a bit of a red herring. I've no clue as to what the purpose of this Board of Peace is going to be, other than potentially getting countries involved to somehow give moral support to whatever's happening in Gaza, and money. So it may well be that in order to get a position on the Board of Peace, you need to come with some sort of a donation from your country to help to rebuild Gaza. I don't really know whether it's one of those situations where it's kind of a position which you will be given some sort of an honor in return for a massive donation, and you'll be recognized on a big plaque somewhere on the wall that you've given this donation for the rebuilding of Gaza, and you have an honorary position on the Board of Peace, which will be what doing? I'm not sure what it is.
It
I'm
also.
sort of a little confused by exactly what the purpose of the Board of Peace will be, because ultimately what happens in Gaza really needs to sit comfortably with Israel. And I know that at the moment Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Trump seem to be relatively well coordinated as to what's going on. One of the reasons, by the way, for the delay of the appointment of the Board of Peace is the fact that we still have Ran Gvili's body to be returned home for burial. And I understand that President Trump did make a comment by saying that he didn't want to move to phase two of Gaza peace plan until such time as Ran's body is ultimately brought home. And I think that that's absolutely right. I think that Hamas slash Palestinian Islamic Jihad, whoever is holding Ran's body or whoever needs to go out and look for it, needs to understand that we can't move forward until that last piece of the puzzle is put in place in terms of fulfilling the terms of the first phase of the Gaza peace agreement. And then I'm very eager to see who will be sitting on the bar of the Gaza Peace Board and what their role will be. I mean, clearly it's just going to be some sort of an overseeing role of some sort. I'm not even sure what decisions they might be called upon to make. I've no idea, honestly, no idea.
There must be this whole quid pro quo thing. I mean, we know that that's how Syria were pushed, Saudi Arabia's been pushed, even Turkey, to soften their stance on Israel. Well, given that goes back and forth, but surely that Trump would use maybe economic or political incentives to encourage people to do so.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's a massive rebuilding project required in Gaza. There is a lot of work to be done in terms of establishing the political lie of the land, getting rid of Hamas, making sure that Hamas is disarmed. Without those two principles, there's no real way of moving forward, not even with the Gaza peace board in place. I'm not quite sure to what extent the heads of countries and kings and most famous and wonderful countries in the world, their representatives, will convince Hamas to do what they clearly don't want to do. So I just want to see this disarming process and this getting rid of Hamas process take place. And if the Gaza Peace Board is the answer, I am in favor.
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And you can catch Anthony on a Monday morning, 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.